You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Look, the Patriots' defense has been great. They did not look great against the Giants. Like, when you're splitting hairs at the top, you got to be honest about this.
Oh, my God. Claire just got shot.
What? No.
Oh, it just came through the window. It was a bullet. What? Hair in the neck. Oh, Claire's down.
But when you have a collection of talent on the defensive side of the ball that's holding five consecutive opponents under 20 points, that's giving up an average of 12.8 points per game.
Oh, when a crime breaks out, all the cute girls shout, get the good-looking guy. When there's a crime out there, he's gonna comb his hair because he's the good-looking guy.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back.
It's Mark.
The Astros are coming. The Astros are coming.
What was that, Devin?
I had to step up my game. I had to.
I like it.
I'm like, we're sitting here talking.
And all of a sudden we see his arms flying.
That was what it was.
Like he's that wacky inflatable arm-flailing tube man.
You look like a character on like SpongeBob.
He's nowhere in sight. I'll ask these fellas. Maybe they've seen him. Excuse me, have you seen... Hold on a second. Hey, pal, stop talking while I'm talking. All right? You want a sandwich full of knuckles?
Man, there's sometimes I wish there was a camera in here. That was
skilled. There's flailing arms back there. There's falling papers
everywhere.
And sinuses acting up over here.
I'm so confused as to what we've been doing so far.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, 401-737-1287. Where did the Boy Meets World reference come from? Was that last week?
Yeah, where did
you put that? Did you put that in the open, or was that Coit? Who was that?
Well, it was Coit.
Oh, it was Coit. He was singing that song, Nick Coit.
No. I got that off of YouTube.
Where did the reference come from?
Yeah, why? Because they were talking about the Patriots defense.
I don't get it.
So that led you to Boy Meets World.
I ain't mad at you.
I'm
loved
not mad.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Love the reference.
I just don't understand.
I don't understand it either, but don't worry. You do you, Dev.
Where did the good-looking guy, where did that come from in reference to the Patriots?
Well, if you guys are listening in the intro of what the guy was talking about, then you guys would have known.
Okay.
Pay attention more.
That was a terrible explanation.
All right, that was a bad explanation. I will say I had a huge thing for Topanga back in the day.
Mm.
She had a few years there for about two years. Exactly.
About 2 years.
Yes.
And we're the same age, so it's not as creepy as it might sound.
No.
Her and Rachel.
Rachel? Rachel was hot.
Friends?
No. I know who you're talking about. The college girl, the redhead.
The one that was dating Corey.
She was...
Eric. Eric. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, she was hot. But Topanga, you're right, for a couple of years there.
No, the girl that was the best on that show... was the girl that Corey cheated on Topanga with.
She was good looking, yeah.
Up at the ski lodge.
Oh.
Goes on to play Velma and has a killer role in Grandma's Boy.
Okay. I didn't know all of that.
Yeah.
They had a long night of talking. I remember that.
And they kissed, which is cheating, apparently.
Woo.
It is. I got to clarify that in case some people are listening.
Back to the show.
Yes, please.
Let's talk to Dan and Chris. Dan, good morning.
Thank God, Dan.
Hey, I know you want to talk hoops, so I'll make it quick.
No.
Do your thing. We'll get to hoops on our later. Don't worry about it.
All right. To me, this is much ado about nothing because...
Really?
Well, there's been plenty of instances this year of them doing the smoochies while he's on the field before every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they're related. I mean, is it going to help the man? Unless he dropped this on him, like, out of left field, like Kraft is just learning about it like the rest of us.
Right. How do we know that's not the case?
Well, that's the only thing that I could see being a, you know, throwing a bomb on, or a grenade on already a gas can. But, I can't imagine Brady is that low to do something. I know he's done so many things out of character this year, but that just sounds... You know what I mean? It just sounds like way too much.
It does. I'm with you, Dan. I'm with you. I cannot believe he would step that far out of line and do that to his boss, who is not proud of that situation.
No, I mean, I just don't see. I mean, I just think that their relationship is it damaged to some extent. Yeah, but it's more about the contract, and you know, he's a prima donna now. He's a diva. That's who he is. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, all these things. You know, it comes with the territory. He's 42 years old. He's going to be year to year. It's not, even if you want the 3-year contract, it's the best interest of the team to keep it year to year at this point, because mm-hmm. you don't know when that cliff is coming. You know, we could be in the middle of it right now. Who the hell knows? But, you know, as far as Kraft goes, I mean, I you guys know this, and I will never let it go. If he had just shut up and let Belichick do his own thing 2 years ago, Brady wouldn't even be here, and we wouldn't be talking about this stuff. So that's the thing that I'll never let go. And when all this stuff happens with this guy right now, it was all preventable, because Kraft, he's his own worst enemy. When he stepped in and did what he did, you know, this comes with the territory. So I cut him no slack for any of that. But I'll never let that go. Jimmy G should be here right now, and they'd still be in a great spot that they're in right now, if not better, with all the draft picks they would have got. That's the way it goes.
Take care, guys. Well, I'll say off of that, that's what makes this so stunning, because Brady, Kraft, it did appear, and I think we all agree that Kraft stepped in and helped get Jimmy G traded so they could keep Tom Brady and keep that whole legacy thing going. That was the ultimate loyal move. And now their relationship is so bad, he's going to do a cameo appearance where he reenacts one of the darkest situations in the history of Robert Kraft owning the New England Patriots. It got that bad that fast because of a little contract squabble. I don't know. I'll say this. He brought up Jimmy G. I look pretty right. My preseason, remember I picked the 49ers to go to the playoffs? And you kind of looked at me funny.
I believe you. I don't remember you doing that.
No, I definitely did.
But
without the audio.
I know definitively my prediction doesn't look good.
Which was yours?
I thought they were going to be out of the playoffs.
The 49ers.
Yeah. I didn't think they were going to be very good. Their defense is much better than I thought it was going to be. Their running game is much better.
Second in the league, I think, averaging 179 yards a game,
and
the 49ers.
And Jimmy's playing well. I can't take it away from him. I mean, he's still throwing a little too many picks, but his completion percentage is outstanding. He's throwing at 70%.
Yep.
He's playing well, and they're not asking too much of him. They're doing the right thing. And my prediction looks wrong so far, but I'll still stick with my career Jimmy prediction.
I did have that one right, and I think we both had the Chargers not having the year they had last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We looked like we had that one right, too. I want to get to a lot in this segment, so let's keep going. Real quick, the Mahomes injury.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
That's brutal. Dislocated kneecap.
Yeah, and they've already, remember, they lost two games on their home field. They've lost two games already. So the home field thing is gone for the Chiefs. They're not getting home field advantage. If he's out 3 or 4 weeks, what does that mean for them?
That means a lot of Matt Moore. Good luck, because he's going to get murdered.
They're going to be a wild card team, probably.
Yeah.
They're not going to get a bye. That's what I'm saying. They're going to play on wild card weekend. They'll probably win the division. That's what I meant to say. They're probably going to still win the division, but they'll probably have to play wild card weekend.
You're going to win the division because the division stinks.
Stinks.
And I can't. I don't think the Raiders are just going to go on a roll and start ripping win after win after win off. This opens the window for the Raiders to sneak into the playoffs, wild card team. But
this is if Mahomes misses only 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
If he misses more, then that's different.
He's probably going to miss more, I would imagine. It's an injury like that.
It's a shame, because I think the next up for them was at Green Bay. That would have been a fun matchup.
That would have been a great matchup, and the NFL is probably pretty pissed about it right now. But no, listen, here's the thing with them. If he's gone for three, as long as they make the playoffs and he's healthy by the playoffs, they're still a legitimate threat. So
sure.
But it opens the window for other teams to put themselves in much better position, whether it be Houston or Oakland, as I talked about. It puts them in an easier position, or even someone like Buffalo. Rack up some wins, make sure they get into the wild card, and they could be an interesting team.
That defense of the Chiefs, though, man, that doesn't do it for me. I know they played well against Denver, but Denver is Denver.
Denver sucks,
and they're terrible. Doesn't do it for me. Who is the biggest threat right now to the Patriots in the league and in the AFC? Start with the AFC.
Texans. Because they have the talent to do it.
Do they have the DNA to do it?
No. That's the problem with them. That's where I always get into the little bugaboo with them. The other interesting thing to see would be, what do the Browns look like when Hunt comes back?
Okay.
That could change, and they're in bad straits right
Freddie
now.
Freddie Kitchens, you'll never sell me on him.
He's terrible, but again, talent can sometimes wash away bad coaching.
Sometimes.
And if you have an overwhelming amount and more options for Baker, then
what about overall in the league? League-wide, who's their biggest threat right now to win the Super Bowl? The team you would not want to see in the Super Bowl.
A healthy Saints?
Healthy Saints is my answer.
A healthy Saints?
Yep.
Because right now they're not healthy.
Packers, good defense. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't think the Packers have enough for you.
Yeah.
I don't think their defense is quite good enough.
Again, he's talking about a young rookie head coach. I'm not picking him to beat Bill Belichick. Not a young guy like that. Doug Peterson did it.
Yeah, he did it. He's also a guy who's been around the league for a very long time. And yes, it was his first year as a head coach.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. But Eagles could be interesting if they get healthy, but I don't think they're quite good enough.
We'll know more about them when the Patriots play them in a few weeks.
Yeah, if Dallas starts to turn it around and become the team that we thought they were going to be after the first couple weeks, which they won't because they have Jason Garrett.
Yeah. You need a more dynamic quarterback, I think, than that to beat the Patriots in a playoff game.
But, you know, I love Seattle.
Seattle.
Good team, an interesting team that could beat you because they have
Wilson.
The smart and the best quarterback in the league in Russell Wilson. I don't fully believe in the 49ers as a true threat, but that would be awesome.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome because they do have a good defense and they do have a really good running game. And we've seen the Patriots give up a lot of yards two of the last 3 weeks on the ground. Be interesting. But I don't think there's any real overwhelming team right now. Even the Patriots aren't overwhelmingly great team right now.
No. Can you play the Rob Parker sound, Devin, about the 6-0 Patriots?
Yes, I'll get that up.
All right. That's the Saints is my answer because they've got the coach, I think, that can play in the same stadium as Bill Belichick. He's got the experience. They've got a good defense.
Yes.
And that quarterback, if Breeze comes back, I mean, they've won games. They have a chip on the shoulder because of last year. Breeze is capable.
Kamara's hurt right now, but if he's fully healthy, that's a dangerous weapon.
I'd probably pick them.
Yeah.
Because I think their roster is better than the Seahawks. I think their coach is better than the Packers coach. And I think the quarterback isn't as good as Rodgers or Wilson, but he's still pretty good. And he still wouldn't be afraid of the Patriots. And he could. I'd probably go with them.
The another interesting team, but unfortunately their quarterback is the thing that's holding them back, because otherwise they're pretty good across the board, would be Minnesota.
You've got
a ton of talent at wide receiver. You've got Dalvin Cook, who's a monster at running back right now. You got a good defense, and if Cousins can get his head out of his ass, that's a pretty good team, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, see, he'd have to win how many games in a row? He'd have to have his head out of his ass.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
buy that. Let's play the Rob Parker sound.
I'm saying they are not, by any stretch of the imagination, the worst 6-0 team.
So that's Chris Broussard. Is that right?
And I'm going to tell you, I totally disagree. That garbage and the way that they've played, look at the last 3 weeks, all right? Tom Brady has 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games, all against god-awful Washington. Didn't get one against Buffalo. Didn't get one against the sad sack Giants. He lost he had 2 fumbles, lost one, had a terrible interception. Yeah, I know he had 2 quarterback sneaks for 2 scores, but other than
okay, real quick text. Rachel from Boy Meets World does porn now. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, fantastic. Text us some more information. Text us a link, please.
I disagree, obviously. The defense or Rachel from...
No, I have the defensive information already up here.
This, I'll tell you right now, this team is better than the 2015 team that ended up 10-0 before they lost. I'll tell you that right now. This defense is different. This defense is special. That defense was fine. It was good. Malcolm Butler, and they didn't have the best cornerback in the league. They didn't have the linebackers they have now. This 2019 Patriots team is absolutely better than that 2015 team that I covered, and I was at every game leading up to the 10-0.
Or most of the games. She does porn.
How do you know that? Where are you looking?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Google is a wonderful thing. In 2019, she transitioned from mainstream acting to performing in pornographic films.
Who'd have thunk it?
Just so you guys
be older now, right?
To make it easier so you don't have to type in all of Rachel from Boy Meets World, her name is Maitland Ward.
That's right, Maitland Ward. Okay, noted.
Now I got to look up the porn database.
Look at Devin's up there blushing.
I love it.
Yeah. It'd be a good afternoon for him. All right. Now I've lost my train of thought. Just a quick note here.
Hot wax strip candles with Maitland.
Okay. Quick note. Patriots, they did win the championship. They won the Super Bowl in 2014.
Yeah.
When they had the 18th ranked rushing yards per game.
Okay.
They were 18th. I don't know why that took a minute to get out.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You okay?
Rush yards per game, 18th ranked. Now, in 2016, they were 7th. 2018, they were 5th. But...
Right now, they're 13th.
In yards per game rushing?
For the defense?
I'm talking about offensive statistics.
Oh, 28th.
Yeah. See, I thought it was 21st. Maybe I have that wrong. But in 2014...
Oh, it's 21st in yards per game. Yards per attempt is 28th.
Yeah. So yards per game, 21st. Yards per attempt, yeah.
Yards per attempt is more important in that context than yards overall per game, because obviously you can just rack up a few yards at the end of the game, just keep running, pick up three. It's the yards per attempt that is, I think, more important in this context.
If they can get Isaiah Wynn back, I don't understand why they wouldn't trade for a blocking tight end. Why can't you trade for... How hard can that be to find? A tight end that can block, and then maybe in a blue moon can catch a pass just to keep somebody honest.
That's apparently more difficult than we give it credit for.
They're missing Rob Gronkowski's blocking.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a huge thing they're missing.
They're missing
Matt Lacoste, or who? Ryan Izzo. The other night was brutal trying to block. He had one or a couple plays where it was formidable, and they ran the ball well during those couple plays.
He was a ticket taker.
Exactly.
You have your ticket? Go get the running back.
Exactly. He was brutal blocking in the run game, and they need somebody in there. I don't know what Ben Watson is going to offer them. I'm glad they brought him back. He never was a great... He was an athlete. He was an athlete.
Tight end.
He was an athlete who's now 37 or 8 years old, so I worry about that. I'm glad he's back.
How strange is it that they arguably miss Gronk's blocking more than his abilities as a pass-catching tight end right now?
Yeah.
You didn't expect that. No one expected that.
Yeah, I know. Well, not after the way they finished last year.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. Last thing I want to get to this segment, then we're going to get into basketball when we come back from the break. The Jets game, what do you expect? Because in the Meadowlands, or whatever it's called now, MetLife, the Patriots against the Jets haven't had blowouts. They've played tough games. They've won close games. They've won, but it's been 7 points, 7 points. They aren't blowouts usually.
I think they win this game. I think they win this game relatively comfortable. I think this is a 28-16 type game where it might look like it was actually closer than it was, but you're going up against Andy Dalton 2.0.
I like that comparison.
Thank you.
I like
Thank
it because
you.
You're right. Where are the Jets trying to go? The playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Dalton provided a spark for the Bengals, and he was good for a lot. They went to a lot of playoffs with Andy. I mean, a lot of playoffs. They went to a few playoff wild card games with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I look at Dalton, had a decent career. I mean, he was an effective quarterback, but he never blew you away.
Right.
And I think that's what Darnold is going to be.
I like it.
An effective, decent quarterback that can kind of keep you in the hunt, but if everything's not right around him, you're a dumpster fire.
He's better than a backup. He has his moments. You know, it's just...
Yeah, but you're going to see a decent touchdown percent, a decent amount of touchdowns year in and year out, but you're also going to see a fair amount of interceptions to go along with it. Plenty of yards. I think he's going to have a nice career, but he's Andy Dalton 2.0. That's what I see. But Lord knows I've been wrong before.
Jets games in New Jersey the last 6 years. Patriots win by an average of 7 points, and they've lost twice. So usually it's close in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I don't see much of an issue with this game. I really don't. I think
Even
the defense is going to shut him
down.
Darnold
back, he could get a little hot.
Yeah. Very young quarterback. I see the defense being able to cause him a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at this like your offense is going to be perfectly fine. I think your defense is going to be able to handle them even better than they did in the first matchup.
He threw some bad picks. He threw a bad interception at the end of the game against Dallas that kept them. I mean, he's better than what they've been playing. But no, I'm with you. I mean, this defense, people still forget. Because they're so hypnotized by the freaking offense, is awesome. And they're going to stay that way. I don't see it changing. So I expect the Patriots to go in there. They might struggle. And just one more thing, the offense. How shocked would you if one of these weeks here, all of a sudden everything's clicking. And they put up 28 in the first half. And they're running the ball.
I wouldn't be stunned
at all.
Not at all.
It's a week-to-week league. Everything changes. Sometimes the game plan just doesn't fit. And you're in a kind of a rock fight that you didn't expect to be in against the Redskins. You know, it's the NFL. Those things happen. Oh, man. People worrying about the offense.
Swanky Hanky Panky featuring Maitland Ward.
Which site is she on?
Manyvids.com.
That's a hell of a career move.
I've never heard of it before. Wow. Started in 2019. 33 titles already. Whew. This girl's been busy.
Okay. When we get back, our NBA preview, talk about the Celtics, what we expect out of them, and what we expect out of the entire league. Zion Williamson, bummer. Not going to be playing early in the season. I mean, that's what I was waiting to see. I wanted to see Zion play. Absolute bummer.
Yeah, I was wondering why Greg Oden is all of a sudden trending on Twitter. Yeah. And I'm like, why is Greg Oden?
Man, that would
Did
be
he
terrible.
Release another picture? And then, nope, Zion got hurt. And I'm like, why you guys immediately go to Oden? Why couldn't you have looked at someone like Ben Simmons? Misses rookie season. Or Blake Griffin? Misses rookie season. Why does he automatically have to go to the worst case scenario in Greg Oden?
Greg Oden, that would be awful. But he didn't have the hype. He had hype, but not the hype of Zion Williamson.
No, right. No, not quite.
We'll do the NBA
hype.
Preview when we get back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. 103.7 WEEI. NBA season gets underway this week. And I'll be honest with you, I'm as excited for this NBA season as I've been for any NBA season that I can remember. Regular season.
And to think, some people were all pissy during the offseason when all the player movement was going on and be like, this is bad for the NBA. No, this
what?
Is great for the
Celtics
NBA.
Celtics open up at Philly Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. I can't wait. Al Horford, I will be into this season. I'm going to root for them to win regular season games. I mean, look, honestly, I don't get into every single regular season Celtics game historically.
It's hard to.
But this year, I want them to win all the games they play. I'll be following every single game closely. This is a big season for the Celtics, and I expect them to deliver. I expect good things from this team.
I think this team's actually going to be pretty damn good. They do have an issue at the center position with a big. They have an issue there, and they've got to figure it out, especially when Philly's going to come at you with all that size.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of go small ball against them, but they can go big ball against you and really punish you because you have very little size to actually stop a combination of Embiid and Horford, who can inside out you to death.
Yeah.
You know, Tice being that guy right now, terrible. Robert Williams being that guy right now, not very good either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're terrible players. I mean, that's a terrible option to go up against a two-headed monster of Horford and Embiid. And let's not even bother with the Taco Fall conversation right now. But the interesting thing about the Celtics is it's going to be if they're playing correctly, and I think they're going to, I think Jaylen and Tatum are both going to play much better. I think you're going to see more effective basketball, particularly offensively from them. It's going to be very difficult to stop that offense when you have four legitimate guys who can score at any time. It's going to be hard to double and rotate on this team. So they're going to be able to put up some points. So I'm not terribly worried about the Celtics where other people think they've taken a major step back. I don't. I think the chemistry is going to be significantly better, which is going to help the young guys. I think you're going to see a much, much better Gordon Hayward. I think Kemba's going to be really good with them.
I hope so. I feel the same way about Jaylen Brown as I felt about Jimmy Garoppolo coming into the year, where I said it feels like now or never for Jimmy Garoppolo based on his age and what he's done and he's been injured and how long he's been in the league. If he's going to be the quarterback that everybody seems to think he's going to be, it's got to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jaylen Brown is in the same situation. If he's going to be the player that everybody sort of thinks he is, and not to mention he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, and we're talking about whether or not he deserves a contract. Now, it looks like the Celtics are trying to pay him.
That's going to be interesting because
I expect a good year out of Jaylen Brown. That's what I'm saying.
I do, too. He's playing for a contract. But you're going to be in an interesting situation because there's going to be other teams that will be willing to pay him more than you.
No question.
So if you're in a situation where you desperately need a big or something, that's going to be that first guy you look at to move.
Correct. However, my concern would that be a Kawhi Leonard situation without actually having a guy with the skill set of Kawhi Leonard? Because is anybody going to want to sign Jaylen Brown knowing in short order he'll be a free agent and can go wherever he wants? Do you make that trade for Jaylen Brown, a guy that's not that good, not a superstar? I mean, maybe you do it, and not every team did it for Kawhi Leonard.
True.
Because they were worried they weren't going to re-sign him or he wouldn't re-sign with them.
Because he
now
wasn't.
Now this is Jaylen Brown.
Unless you were in L.A., he wasn't going to.
Yeah, now this is Jaylen Brown. You don't know. Now, maybe it's not about L.A. or geography for him. It's probably more about money at this stage.
But I think they're really in a really good position right now, because the only team I'm looking at really strongly in the East is if Philly can make that next step up, if they got the right guy in Horford to help put it all together for them.
Their bench, though, doesn't really scare me. Their depth and bench doesn't scare me, Philly.
No, it shouldn't. It's not good. It shouldn't scare you. But again, when it comes time to the playoffs, that doesn't matter nearly as much. You shorten your rotations. Yeah. Your starters play a hell of a lot more.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter quite as much. And I think Milwaukee took a step back. Losing Brogdon, I think, was a big deal for them.
Yeah, they did. And I also
think... And he goes over to Indiana.
Okay.
Which can help bridge that gap, because we don't know when Oladipo's coming back. So Brogdon can bridge that gap and keep them kind of relevant until Oladipo comes back. And then all of a sudden they could take off. So you have an interesting team right there. But outside of those four in the East, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Not interested in Miami. Certainly not interested in Toronto.
No. Can I just reiterate, though? I think that the Sixers ultimately took a small step back. They got Al Horford, but they lost Jimmy Butler. And I think that that ultimately will be a step back, because in the playoffs, I think it's Jimmy Butler and that type of player that wins more than an Al Horford does.
Well, I agree, because you needed someone who could actually shoot consistently from the perimeter. And J.J. Redick's fine. Like, obviously, he's a good shooter, but whatever.
And he's on the Pelicans now.
No, I know, but I'm talking about previously.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's obviously a multidimensional player, whereas Redick's a one-dimensional player. So losing him... Butler is a pretty big deal. And going over to Miami, where he's not going to be playing with a ton of talent, so they're kind of irrelevant, so he kind of took himself out of the equation,
yeah,
is weird.
Unless they could trade for Chris Paul at some point, but that doesn't even
matter. Why would you? If I was the Heat, I would stay the hell away from team cancer Chris Paul.
He's toxic, yeah.
Stay away from him.
Tobias Harris doesn't really scare me.
He's a decent player.
He's a shooter. He's not as dynamic as Jimmy Butler was. Butler was a big loss. That was a big loss. You add Al Horford with Butler, now that's different. That's different.
It is, but here's the other side. Are they going to just be too damn slow now? Are they just going to be too slow and clunky getting up and down the court? Is there going to be zero transition game with them because you have two slow guys in Horford and Embiid getting up and down the court? Simmons doesn't exactly light the world on fire with his feet.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting things going on with Philly. I'm not saying they're a NBA Finals team, but if all goes right for them, they could be pretty damn good.
Who's your final four?
Philly, Boston, LA.
Even though the Greek Freak is still the best player in the East.
Sure. I think they took a step back.
I'm with you.
And you lose a dynamic player like Brogdon, and you spend too much on, I can't remember, Middleton.
Yeah.
I think that was bad for them. And they still have some weird holes. Middleton's a good shooter, but outside of him, you don't have tremendous shooting on that team, which is very important come time for the playoffs. And, if it came down to a Philly-Milwaukee matchup, you have two near 7 foot, one 7 footer, one guy 6'10", 6'11", that can clog the lane for him and make really difficult for Antetokounmpo. So I think they match up better with Milwaukee than they did before.
I'm going to say Philly, Boston, Clippers, Warriors. Ready to give up on the Warriors, man.
Why do you think the Warriors?
Because I think Klay Thompson comes back, and I think they're going to be good with D'Angelo Russell. And I think the DNA of that team is still really good.
Well, you brought up bench with regards to Philly. And yeah, they're in the East, so it's going to be a lot easier for them to mask those deficiencies. Golden State has very little outside of those guys right now. Very little.
They lost Andre Iguodala. Yep. They still have Sean Livingston, but he's older.
He's nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing right now.
Well, we'll see. The Lakers are good.
Sean Livingston retired.
Did he?
Yeah.
So he's not even on the team anymore.
Nope.
He's nothing.
They let him go, and then
you're right,
he
was nothing. Okay.
So, Clippers are going to be a damn good team, man.
That's right. Clippers, I think it was all going to be about the Clippers. Team. The Clippers are going to win the West. I would be. It would be a big upset. It would
so
at least be an upset.
LA.
No, I still think it's going to be the Warriors.
Oh, I thought you said Lakers, Warriors. Okay.
No, it's going to be the Clippers that win the West. I'd be shocked if the Clippers didn't win the West. With the depth they have and the two guys they have and the defense they're going to play, I'd be shocked if they didn't win the West.
Yeah, I think it's an LA, Boston, Philly. It's going to be fantastic because either way you're getting some kind of rivalry, whether it's Boston, LA, or Philly, LA in the finals.
Yes.
That's truly what I think. And obviously this is all predicated on health.
Sure.
Everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone's playing. But I think the Celtics are going to be pretty good. It depends on what they do with Cantor. I know he's not a very skilled. He's actually a very poor defender. Mm-hmm. But I'd put him in the starting lineup. Because then you have five guys who can score. You're making the opposing defense work a hell of a lot harder. That's where I'd put him. And start to work on that bench and start to get those guys gelling as
a unit. And hey, it looks like, obviously it's early and we're just seeing, it looks like Robert Williams is going to be some sort of defensive presence. Some sort of defensive presence.
He has to be. There's nothing.
That's what it looks like. We'll see.
He's the only defensive presence really for them.
And he's a big guy.
At that size.
That would be huge. I'm not asking for Ben Wallace. Just be somebody that can be a formidable defender when you come into the game. That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
Especially if the guys that they have on the roster score like we think they can. Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker. You know, this is a different team when Jaylen Brown is hitting threes. He was at 38% last year. If he can get that up a little bit.
Well, it's a much different team when Jason Tatum's playing intelligent basketball instead of doing the dumbest stuff possible on the court, shooting the worst percentage shots you can shoot.
Do you expect a better year from him?
I expect a much better year from him. I buy in to the notion that if you go play with the USA team during the summer, you look at a lot of guys, they take a big jump the next year. I buy into that. And he was playing really well with the USA team before he got hurt. So I'm expecting a big jump from him. I think he learned some of the mistakes he made last year. Yep. I think he's going to be far more aggressive going to the rim, which is going to be huge for this team.
I think he's too good, and I think he's too mature to have another bad year. I think he figured it out over the offseason with Team USA, whatever. He looked at last year, understood that that's not what he's about, what the type of player he is. I think he's too good and too mature, too mentally right to have another bad year. I think he worked at it. He's going to be focused. He's going to know what he needs to do. He's committed. I think he has a great year. So combining Brown and Tatum, I think they both have good bounce back years. And I think also, we didn't really bring this up, I think just not having Kyrie around will be a breath of fresh air for the team. That could get him a couple wins. Just they could chalk up five wins just not having Kyrie around and that mental strain that he was.
Yeah, and personality passenger and Al Horford.
Exactly.
That's what I call him now. Personality passenger.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a problem, but he wasn't...
Wasn't part of the solution.
Wasn't part of the solution at all.
Now, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
And the problem was, all of us sort of operated like he was part of the solution, but he never was. Never even close.
Nope.
So, I don't really look at the Sixers with Al Horford and view that as a big X factor or anything like that.
I look at it in the problems that can present other teams because of the size they can throw at you. When a lot of teams are going through that stagnant kind of small ball or that uniform 6'5 to 6'8 guy, which the Celtics are probably the kings of that right now, or at least how they want to play, that size can present a lot of problems for you. And if you can't get any rebounds because a team like that's gobbling them all up, it's going to be difficult to win games.
Right. I would be a lot more nervous if Ben Simmons is all of a sudden a 41.3% three-point
shooter. The whole world would be nervous if that happened.
Because then that's more important, or that'd be more difficult to handle than Al Horford to me. But I don't think that's going to happen. It'll be interesting. It's a bummer, like I said, that Zion Williams is not going
to play.
Now, let
me ask you, which team do you most want? Like, you can't wait to see the Celtics play that team, provided the other team's fully healthy.
Well, I would see the Nets.
Because of Kyrie?
Because of Kyrie.
Okay, are there any other teams that really interest you that you actually want to see what they are and what they can do?
The Sixers. The Sixers are one. I want to see them play the Bucks again with this new team. And then I want to see them play the LA teams. I mean...
What about the Rockets? I just want to see what the Rockets are with those two guys in the same backcourt.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be interested in the
Westbrook and Harden in the same backcourt. Two guys that don't love sharing.
How far can they go?
They can go pretty far.
Yeah.
It's a well-coached team, a well-run organization, unless you live in China. And that's a ton of talent that can put up a ton of points.
I'm so glad Russell Westbrook signed with them. I mean, that just is so great.
Well, I'm glad he's out of purgatory.
Yeah. But I love the fact that he was paired with Harden, a guy he's played with, a guy that's also ball dominant. That is a fun dynamic, especially from the outside, just kind of observing.
Yeah.
To see how that plays out. And they're angry, and they're in the West, so I can watch them go up against the LA teams, against the Warriors. And we're not even talking about some of the teams that in the power rankings are near the top, like the Nuggets and the Jazz.
No, no, no. That's not happening, guys.
They're going to make the play. The Nuggets are going to make the playoffs.
Sure, they have some decent players, but they're not going to be at the top. They're not going to be two in the West like they were last year going into the playoffs. They're going to be a
four or five team.
Same thing with the Trailblazers. And the Jazz, I'm not fully buying that either.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you add certain parts to a well-run team, and they were a well-run team, it actually derails them a little bit. And I see that happening with Conley going over there.
The Lakers roster is impressive. I just wonder how, if it's more about name recognition.
The Lakers roster would be really impressive if it was 2014.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Is it more just the names we know? The names that have accomplished a few things? Danny Green and Rondo and things like that.
Dwight Howard.
Right. Bradley. Dwight Howard. Who else?
What'd you say?
Avery Bradley.
Right. Right, right, right. So is that going to be great names, but are they the names we remember? That's what I'm worried about with the Lakers.
They're 100% not the names we remembered, but
is LeBron?
We're also asking them to be in much different roles than what we remember them being in. If Rondo can keep his head on straight and be a defensive presence and a facilitator, they could be damn good.
They could be damn. I expect them to be damn good. I expect them to be good. I just don't know if I expect them in the finals.
They're going to be a tough out. If they're healthy in the playoffs, they're going to be a really tough out because Dwight Howard's nearly not even close to the same player he was years ago, but he can still grab a lot of rebounds for you.
Yep.
And he can still play a little bit of defense.
And Kuzma's still, he's the only young guy they have, but he's still a young, promising, see what he develops into.
Yeah, we know Davis wants to play the four.
Yeah.
So pairing him up with Dwight makes sense because Dwight wants to be a back-to-the-basket type of guy. So that makes sense. That's a good lineup for them. And then Kuzma can rotate in and out between either one of those. Or however you want to start. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think they're built fairly well. They need a piece or two for that bench, though.
And you expect LeBron James, after missing the entire playoffs,
the most rest he's ever
hungry.
Had in his life.
Oh, he's going to be so rested, so motivated, hungry, angry. I can't wait to see how he comes out.
Just keep your mouth shut, especially when talking about global politics, LeBron, you dummy.
Everything he does will be scrutinized and put under the microscope, and I love it. I want that.
His whole career has been that, so
I know,
it's okay.
But especially this year, because L.A., and after last year, how bad it was, the expectation. I mean, look, if he can't win, if this is a bad situation this year, it's over. It's over for LeBron. They're not going to get anybody else. This is the big experiment. You've got Anthony Davis. You're not getting anybody else. He's not going to go back to the finals if he can't do it with this sort of core, especially now with what's going on with the Clippers.
It's a good point.
Real quick, let's take Mike's call. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, two quick points here. One, just defensively. With regards to the centers, Jordan's Bulls, they never had a great center. What they had was multiple playable people that they just rotate out there on the floor and just throw them at somebody like Patrick Ewing so he was at a fresh body in front of him. And the Warriors just won, you know, one of the most dominant teams in NBA history. Who was their center? I mean, you know, they did pretty much the same thing. They had, you know, kind of interchangeable pieces to put on the floor. All four of the centers that the Celtics currently have are playable guys. That Poirier guy, they played very well with him on the floor in this preseason. He was second team all EuroLeague. And you already talked about the other three. All of them have a use. And the thing is that you're not really relying on any one of them, is that all four of them can be thrown out there. You never have to worry about foul trouble. This is not an idea that you have to really focus on because you're scoring and all that. You're relying on the perimeter players, not them.
Okay, I do kind of agree with you. I think you just went a little too far with it because when you look at the Bulls, particularly that second half of the second three-peat that they had, you had Dennis Rodman playing defense, and he was going to guard – didn't matter, whichever was your better player, whether it be your power forward or your center. So that washes that away a little bit. The Warriors' point's a fairly good point, but again, like the Bulls, you had transcendent talent. And not quite, Draymond, not as much as...
He was a defender like that. I mean, he was
not as good. Not as good going up in terms of bigger guys as Dennis Rodman was. But you also had Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time. You had one of the greatest defensive players of all time and the greatest secondary force in Scottie Pippen. And then when you look at what the Warriors had, you had a transcendent player in Curry. You had a great secondary option in Klay. So, and then you had Durant obviously come on later. So it's tough to compare those two. His point is kind of right. You don't necessarily need that big defensive guy, but you need someone that's capable of defending that position. And not just defending it, but grabbing rebounds.
Yeah. We'll see how the Euro does. But again, I think we're all expecting good things, and we all have the bar pretty high for the Celtics. And if the four guys, Hayward, Walker, Brown, and Tatum, play the best that they've played, if they play the same way that they played when they've been at their best in this league, this is going to be a really good team and probably a team that can go to the finals. If they're all playing at their best when they've been at their best. You know, whether it was when Hayward was an all-star or Walker last year or in 2017 when Hayward and, when Tatum and Brown were taking the Celtics to the Game 7 against the Cavs, that's what we're hoping for all comes together this year. And if they do, they could go to the finals. All right, when we get back, is there a producer's question? Producer's question, we'll wrap it up. Maybe a quick Red Sox thought. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Trying to get through the end of the show without being distracted by Maitland Ward.
That's not going to happen. I'm already distracted.
All right. Real quick, can I just say how happy and joyful I am that Stephen Wright has finally been taken off of the Red Sox roster. I mean, what the hell? Why is he still on the Red Sox roster?
Which makes you happier? Stephen Wright finally being out of our lives.
Yeah.
Or finding out Rachel from Boy Meets World now does porn. Which one makes you happier?
Second one.
Second one.
Yes, for sure.
I'm with you, Dev.
Make something to do. Early morning, late nights.
Noon.
Maybe.
5 p.m., rush hour on the way home. Just plug it into your car.
Okay. Just real quick, the World Series.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. World Series, real quick. I know we talked about this. We've both sort of been in agreement here. I made a big point about it back in August that I didn't think Mookie Betts, the Red Sox, I know a lot of people have a lot of strong opinions about what the Red Sox should do.
Yes.
For Mookie Betts, or with Mookie Betts, they should re-sign him. He's the greatest player they've had in years. I don't think you give Mookie Betts Mike Trout money, Bryce Harper money. I don't think you do it. I love Mookie Betts as a player.
You don't.
His body size, his game, just in general, baseball. I don't think you give that guy that kind of money. And then look what happened 2 months later. Here go the Washington Nationals to the World Series. The year after they lose the best player the franchise has ever had.
Yep.
They go to the World Series.
Basically, don't be the LA Rams. Don't tie up all your money in just a few guys and then not have anything left over to actually build a real team around them.
Yeah.
Just don't do that. So, yeah, yes, we've talked about this before. Those highest paid players do not win, particularly in baseball. Look at some of the best players in the last 30-something years. Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Zero. Ken Griffey Jr. Zero. Mike Trout. Zero. Bryce Harper. Zero. Manny Machado. Zero.
Yep. I just wouldn't. I love Mookie Betts, but just for the money he will command, I would not do it. Not if I'm the Red Sox.
It's not worth it in baseball to pay all that money to one guy.
What did he do in the postseason last year? Hit a garbage time home run.
Yep.
Nope. Guys that win in the postseason, I know the Mets didn't win the World Series, but it's just the way it goes. I mean, I think of Todd Walker in 2003. He was insane. He was on fire. That's what helped the Red Sox get to Game 7 against the Yankees. Remember a few years ago,
Daniel... And he's gone. He's going over to Chicago, and you bring in Bellhorn.
Remember Daniel Murphy a few years ago?
Dave
Murphy? Daniel Murphy? I think it was Daniel Murphy.
Daniel sure. Murphy, yeah.
Daniel Murphy okay. from the Mets.
Yes, he's on yes, fire. Yes.
He couldn't get him out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy... Last year, Steve Pierce in the World Series just caught fire. I mean, that's baseball. So the $400 million guy, Mike Trout, doesn't always get you. I will say this, though. I did like seeing Joe Maddon sign on with the Angels. I think that's interesting.
That's a very interesting move. Yeah. It was a very smart move yeah. by the Angels. I think they finally learned their lesson. Because, I brought up the LA Rams trying to go sports to sport. But the Angels are actually an even better example of tying up all your money in just a few guys. And you can't even be competitive because you don't have enough bodies out there.
Yeah.
that's a great example of do not put yourself in that situation where you're paying all that money to Pujols, all that money to Hamilton, when you thought they should have contended because they had a couple of big names, but they had no money left over for other serviceable ball players.
Yeah. He has been a winner wherever he's gone. Yes. I thought it got a little ugly with the Cubs. I thought they'd contend a little bit more than they did after they won that World Series. I thought they'd be back in another World Series or something like that. But he won in Tampa. He won it all in Chicago. And now he's going to an organization that hasn't won since 2002. And considering they've had the best player in the game, they haven't gotten close.
Yeah, it's one of the best players of all time.
Of all time. He's Mickey Mantle. So I would like to see how he does in L.A. So that'll be interesting. But I'm fascinated by the World Series. Yankees, I don't think the Yankees are going to come back. The Astros are too good. They're going home. I don't think they come back and win three in a row. They won last night, but I don't see it. I'm rooting for the Nationals.
Mm.
I'm rooting for them.
I'm absolutely rooting for the Nationals.
I'm all in, too.
Thanks.
You had a question for us, Dev?
No. Let's do the question. Yeah, let's do the producer question.
All right.
He's chopping at the bit. He's a question.
Trying to get in there.
Here we go.
It is time for the producer's question, so here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. Here it is for Mark and Ben. All right, guys. This question of the week is, since we're getting in the Halloween theme, is that do you guys actually believe that there could be ghosts and spirits out there?
No.
Yes.
No.
I agree. Yes.
You. Oh, okay. No.
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 Why?
No. Why? Never seen him?
Never seen him. But I believe, I mean, what, spirits?
Yeah.
You know what, one time that I sort of began to buy in? I saw something or read something about how if you wake up at the same time every night, that's sort of like when the ghost is coming in or that's when they're there. I don't know.
What?
I woke up at this. There was a while there where I was waking up. Well, this is probably when I was a kid, but I was waking up every night at the same time. So I just assumed there were ghosts. I think there's something to it. Spirits.
I say no. I think there's something to it. For a very simple reason, because I don't think anything happens after you die.
Okay.
Okay. So if you believe that nothing happens after you die, then there can't be
spirits. So you don't believe in heaven or anything like that?
No. No, I don't. I think it just lights out. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's a downer. We're not getting into those beliefs.
I like that a little bit more because then it forces you to actually kind of enjoy the life you're living.
Sure.
Instead of always looking forward to, well, you know, it'll be great when I get to heaven.
All right.
Or, so man, that, it's going to suck when I get to hell.
I don't believe that. But that makes sense. That's why you would think there are no ghosts. I think there are some spirits, some ghosts out there. I think that thing does sort of exist somehow. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how, but I think it does.
Yeah, I just can't buy it. I've never seen anything. And I'm not just saying just because I've never seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's not what I'm saying. It just there's never been anyone that's seen anything that's even close to being verifiable.
Depends on where you go on the internet. You can probably find something.
I've gone to some deep, dark places on the internet, and I've found nothing.
Okay.
But again, like I said, for me, it generally all comes down to nothing happens after you die, and if nothing happens after you die, then why would there be spirits? Why would there be ghosts? Why would there be any of this?
Okay. Yeah, I think there's something out there. If I had to bet the house that there was some spirits living or walking around among us, I guess I'd say there is somewhere.
I've seen it happen.
You've seen it happen?
What? Why didn't you start with that?
Yeah.
So what happened was, this was like a couple months ago. So I was upstairs listening to YouTube, and I have my earphones in.
Okay.
And I hear someone walking up the stairs, and I'm thinking it's my dad, like, trying to, like, check up on me or something like that. So I hear creaking up the steps going up the stairs. And I see a shadowy figure, and I'm thinking it's my dad. And then I hear him snoring downstairs. Coincidentally, it's just me and my dad living together. No one else.
So
I don't know. It could have been a spirit. Could have been someone. I don't know.
Dude, you got to stop eating mushrooms.
Ghost stories at Devin.
True story. True story.
False story.
All 7 right. Charlotte Street.
I believe
this is in your house.
Yeah.
I believe you think you saw something.
Yeah.
Or heard something, but you didn't.
No, it could have been.
You might have heard something, but you didn't see something.
I'll call Ghostbusters.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something out there, but I have no idea. I bet you if you talk to a psychic, I mean, those psychics speak to the spirits, don't they? Those mediums.
You believe in psychics?
I don't know.
I don't.
So there was a psychic. Well, I don't know.
My friend can actually see spirits, like, you know, and talk to them too.
Damn, you and your friends have great drugs. Can I hang out with you guys?
Yeah, sure.
What's going on, man?
He's got all the answers back there. He's asking us the questions. Why didn't you just
tell him? You should just be knowledge drops with Devin at the end of the show.
All right.
Good, so switch it up.
I like it. Halloween theme. You could have waited one more week, but that's fine. Let's get into it.
Had to.
It's fine. Real quick, Michael Bennett getting suspended. Thoughts?
It's just so weird because he's been productive when he's on the field, but he keeps getting less and less time on the field.
Yeah. I'm surprised he wasn't cut, honestly. You're going to suspend. What's he going to get suspended and then come back and everything's fine?
No, I mean, if you're going to do anything, trade him.
Trade him.
Instead of
trade
cutting him.
Yeah, that's
trade
what I mean. Like, he'd be out of here. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think they're probably working or trying to work out a trade with somebody. I'd love to see. Speaking of trades, Manny Sanders. I'll take Manny Sanders if you want to trade. If you want to trade a fourth round pick for Manny Sanders.
AJ Green, what can we do?
Oh, my gosh. AJ Green. I drool all over.
Just remember, if you've learned nothing from this show,
This the takeaway of this final point here, because this is important.
Maitland Ward with Karma RX and Isaiah Maxwell, threesome fun. You can find that at IsaiahMaxwellXXX.com.
You learn something new every day.
You learn something new every day.
Good looking Boy Meets World. Lost track of her career since then.
Oh, now we're back on track. We're back on track and better than ever.
Okay. Next week, Patriots. So we'll have Monday Night Football. I'll take the Patriots in that game.
Just wrap it up. Let's leave.
Next week, we'll be back.
I got porn to watch.
All right, this is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 of you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.